What I Did on My Holidays by Henry Packer.
I was in the Dordogne, lovely part of the south of France.
Is it the south of France?
I've never actually checked.
I don't think it is.
When you're in the Dordogne, it's so, you know, it's such a sensory overload that things like maps don't really feel like they mean very much. But yeah, sure, you go and stick with your borders and your north and south and you're, oh, show me your papers. Yeah. I'm just going to enjoy some lovely wine looking at a lovely bit of grass.
I forgot you were staying on a roundabout, weren't you?
I was staying on a lovely roundabout. But everything's so lovely in France, isn't it, compared to the UK? A simple bollard could send me off on a flight of fancy and end up with a sonnet sequence. Do you know what I mean? To be honest, they do things with bollards in France that we can barely dream of here.
What do they do? Use them as sort of storage units, or what? What are we talking?
I mean, I just think they've certainly got intelligent bollards. That's not something we've looked at all. I don't think, yeah, in this country. They've got a lot of those bollards that go in and out of the ground.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you can sort of pedestrianise a city centre like that?
Yes, exactly. You have the power of pedestrianisation is very, very, very... You can just do it in the blink of an eye there. And you can therefore sort of... You can sort of irrigate the city in a way with human. I mean, you can sort of divert people a bit like water patterns. You know what I mean? You control the flow of humanity through simple bollard psychology, which is something you can't even do a degree in this country, as far as I know. The bollards are better. I mean, just going to a French supermarket, you know, getting some ham, cheese.
Any new discoveries on this trip?
We did some good. You know, obviously, just the food has some lovely meals. We had some really good meals. Asparagus. I mean, do you think you know asparagus? Go on, play along, mate. Do you feel confident that you know asparagus? Do you?
I do feel reasonably.
You don't know asparagus. You don't know shit about asparagus. Stop trying to tell me you do. Yeah, because I've seen things done with asparagus that you couldn't even do just with, like, bits of wood. Do you know what I mean? Like, constructions.
A series of intelligent bollards, for example. A
series of asparagus bollards.
What, a house in which dwells a pig. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about... I had an asparagus starter, which, I mean, frankly, it was... It should have been called start, middle, and end of everything you ever need to know about asparagus, frankly, because, do you know what I mean? This is it. It was just a full exploration of asparagus. So there was different types of asparagus cooked in different ways in a big pile with a sort of crispy cheese hat on top.
Did they have white asparagus?
They had basically what I'm saying is they had white asparagus. Yeah. Okay. And it sort of blew my mind because I'm on holiday in France. But basically, there's just two types of asparagus on a plate.
We don't really tend to have that very much in Britain. It is more, I've had it in Germany. A lot. Spargel.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
I think it's called Spargel. Mm-hmm. Mike, you're the German speaker.
Yeah.
I went to some kind of Spargel Fest by mistake a few years ago.
Did you?
Yeah. Spargel Fest, where was that?
I think it was in Cologne. Everyone's going mad for Spargel.
Nice.
Yeah, so had some really good asparagi. Had some very good mousses.
Salmon mousse?
No, chopped mousse, mate.
Just sweet mousses. You didn't have any savoury mousses?
Yeah, no, so lots of nice choc mousses. Went to a French market. Yes.
Great place to buy, like, a towel with Bob Marley on it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Or a set of towels with Bob Marley and the Wailers. Some in decreasing towel sizes.
Down to the smallest Wailer.
Just to the one smallest Wailer.
The hand Wailer.
He's on the flannel. Did you go to any French markets, Ben, this time?
I went to a book market in Strasbourg.
Mm. Oh yeah.
But obviously all the books were in French, so it was
total waste of time.
Complete waste of time.
Why do they bother? Hey?
Why do they bother? The French market there was a man, a simple Frenchman, who just made his own nougat.
Made his own what, sorry?
Nougat.
Nougat?
Nougat.
What, on the street? What are you talking about? Like it was a street performance.
Mike, there's no way that the public could ever be allowed to know what happens in the nougat making process. If you think sausage is bad.
Even the French public.
Even the French public are not ready. He allegedly made this nougat at home, and I assume it was homemade because
it was all full of bits of hair.
Oh, I assumed it was homemade because an amount of it, about the size of a, let's say, glasses case, was 20 quid.
What?
Good God.
Yeah. So extraordinary.
So where did you encounter this person?
This was in this little French market we went to one day.
Like in a stall? Or?
Yeah, stall. So this guy was selling his own nougat. It was bright green.
Is this like a hipster thing, or is he trying to say he's like an ancient French artisan?
Yeah, it was more ancient French artisan, I think.
Or
is
this drugs?
Yeah, this is a money laundering exercise.
Oh, God, of course. Green nougat, that's just street slang for crack, isn't it? Green nougat.
It'll blow your mind, mate. Imagine green nougat. You know. This is mental. It's like something totally impossible. I don't know, like green nougat. Let's call it that.
Is that what you're saying?
Henry does his general northern drug taker voice. There we go.
which I premiered at one of the live shows recently. It's quite good. It feels like I've wanted to talk about my time in France, but without having a solid anecdote around it.
Yeah, so I thought you had a hot anecdote ready to go.
It was more what I was trying to do was deliberately sort of create relaxed chat about my holiday.
It felt quite tense, though, in the end, didn't it?
It felt tense.
because I was waiting for the
Because you can't create small talk. The idea is if you're amongst friends or nice people, decent people, decent
maybe over fondue.
Maybe over a fondue or
homemade nougat.
A sort of homemade nougat or a hog mousse. that people just ask you.
That moment in the evening when Barbara brings out the hog mousse is a real moment.
It's more the moment before when you can hear her making it fresh in the kitchen.
Yeah. What's the noise Mike make?
The key is to keep the hog alive until the last possible moment.
Yeah.
She opens a little hatch that goes directly from the kitchen into the living room. Liquefy and freeze. Yeah, she can freeze it into special shapes, can't she?
Freeze it into shapes, then chip off the tusks. That's the first tusk, then chip off the other tusk. My guests don't want a tusk. There it goes. And on you go. Barbara sounds like she's the mother of the northern drug staker. Maybe it does all fit together.
Meow. All right, well, if you cross her, you get moosed.
Yeah, you get moosed. So what happens is generally small talk, nice people ask questions about your holiday and stuff, so you don't have to force it.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's like me saying to you, how was my day?
Right.
And then you ask me.
Passive aggressive. So having forced it, it created an unpleasant atmosphere, didn't it?
Yeah.
And then Ben and I were sort of waiting for the hook, really.
The nearest thing we got to hook was one meal we had. So we had, obviously it's France, we had great meals. Great asparaguses, lots of just, you know, nice hot sauces. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But there was one restaurant we went to where we drove through the hills. Good start. We drove through a small forest.
A bit vague, yeah, but carry on.
A deciduous forest.
Okay, great.
We arrived at a small tumble-down French chateau with a restaurant on the terrace, looking over green rolling hills. It all sounds good so far, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is storytelling.
Yeah. We assumed we were going to get another lovely French meal, but were we?
It was a wimpy.
A wompé.
Bienvenue à Wampé.
Bienvenue à Wampé.
Monsieur Wampé.
The first sort of clue we had that might be a problem was that it was barbecue night.
Ooh.
Okay.
And was that even written in English? Or was it at least written in French somewhere? Or did you just get a sense of it?
Oui, de barbecue.
I think I was told in French that it, c'est le barbecue night. So it was both.
Okay.
Please meet Barbara.
Barbara Q. There are links. Barbarians, Barbara Q. So I think what happened was I booked it on the phone, so I called up. Basically, I go on a holiday in France every year to the Dordogne with the same group of friends, and I'm the French talker, so I call the restaurants and stuff.
Okay.
So it's quite cool. So I called up the restaurant to book it, and the guy said to me, basically in French, he said, yes, of course you can come, but you do know it's barbecue night. And I was like, no, I didn't, but I do now. Great, sounds brilliant, barbecue night. The other thing that one of us noticed is they had two five-star reviews.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. It had no other reviews, and it'd been open for 20 months.
Mm.
On Google Maps or on TripAdvisor?
I can't remember which one it was.
Right, okay.
Whether it was Google or TripAdvisor. Anyway, turned up. Nice seat at the terrace. Everything seemed fine. Barbecue night. The way it works is it's 30 euros. You get some gazpacho.
Okay.
You get a run at the barbecue,
mm-hmm.
with a salad buffet on the side.
Are we talking unlimited barbecue?
Well, that's something I wasn't clear on. And Ben, you're so thinking like a British tourist. I like
it. Well, this is already sounding exactly like a snob's carvery, isn't it?
Beg your pardon?
It's sounding like a snob's carvery.
It's a snob's carvery. Or maybe it's a sort of French take on a snob's carvery. But you're right, Ben. I was instantly thinking, how many times can I go back to that barbecue? Because I can see there are prawns there. So obviously prawns instantly make you think, I want how many fucking prawns can I get away with having? It was those big prawns. And you start doing the math, don't you? You start thinking to yourself, if I can take...
Do I need to go back to the car and get the bucket out of the boat?
Do I need to get the bucket out? Is it time for me to bring out the old Trojan lobster trick again, which I haven't done for years, but I've still got the outfit. I take it around in the back of the car, along with a little triangle
and this
thing.
This is why.
This is why.
I've been carrying it around for years.
If this is the moment, I can do the old Trojan lobster routine. Simple. You and your friends get in the lobster. What happens? Well, you and your friends, you and as many of your colleagues as possible get into the lobster outfit.
Right.
You position yourself outside the walls of a French restaurant.
Right.
They assume it's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
They take you in.
They boil you.
They boil you. This is the point. I've never actually worked out the details from this point on. I spent so much time perfecting the outfit. It's incredibly realistic. There's no French restaurateur that won't take it into their restaurant. I've guaranteed that with all the time I've spent on the perfecting the... it's mainly the look in the eyes with a lobster. Yeah.
Well, they're thinking they can pay their mortgage for 3 months if they manage to sell that.
It's finally happened. The dream. The massive lobster. I always thought it was a fairy tale. But it's happened. Jean-Louis... Mirabel, Barbara, you will all go to American University. This is going to put you through college.
Not a good one.
Not a good one, though.
It's a highly obscure evangelical college. All of the degrees are in Leviticus.
With surprisingly average academic results. But while you're all over there, and I... will have a free lobster costume of my own, and I will be able to do the perfect Trojan lobster trick. That's right. I will get inside it and put myself outside the French restaurant. And wait.
This is his own restaurant.
I haven't thought about that.
Sell the lobster to himself.
I spent so much time researching obscure American colleges for my children, I never thought through the Trojan lobster. Back to the French restaurant.
Yep.
It was barbecue night. So, the gazpacho's come out.
Mm.
Now,
I've never had gazpacho.
Beg your pardon?
I've never had it.
Never had gazpacho?
No.
Imagine a cold tomato soup.
Exactly, that's why I've never had it.
Yeah, I know. Exactly, Ben. If only I'd had that wisdom. But so the gazpachos were handed out. Now, I was in a situation where I was the person that had slightly pushed for this choice of restaurant.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that puts you in a very vulnerable position.
I was in a very vulnerable position, which mm-hmm. is I had to be a bit defensive. So basically, I'd gone into this experience with the classic British mindset of barbecue night, but the way the French will do it will be absolutely remarkable. Of course it'll be fantastic. It doesn't matter about the reviews. Come on, wait and see just what the French can do. Do you know what I mean? I had this kind of like, it's going to be incredible.
They've marinated the charcoal.
They've marinated the charcoal itself. No one would have thought of that. They've marinated the implements. Yeah, so like, so the Smatros come out. So the two people I'm with, obviously they haven't chosen the restaurant, so they're able freely to instantly say, this gazpacho is disgusting.
Mm-hmm. And did they know their way around a gazpacho? Had they gazpachoed? Because yeah. Not many people have gazpachoed.
I think they'd gazpachoed before. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The kinds of people I holiday with have gazpachoed. Do you know what I mean? Minimum.
Fine.
And they're saying things like, this tastes like they've just cleaned out the filter of a dishwasher and...
All those classic lines, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like they're being punched repeatedly in the mouth by a prize fighter whose hands are made out of rancid old haddocks. that was another phrase that kept coming back.
Okay. And these are members of the metropolitan elite, aren't they?
These are Londoners, right? So you're
taking this. This is a concern to you, right? It's not as if it's a provincial middle-aged man who's saying.
No, oh, exactly.
I mean, my soup's cold.
My credibility's on the line as well because I chose this place. So I'm in that place where I think you can reach a point where, you know, when you've backed an experience, be it going to a film or choosing a restaurant or a holiday at a destination, whatever, you have to defend it so much that I actually, my brain synapses, my flavor centers, because everything's connected, isn't it, in the human body? Everything's connected to the spinal column. It's all one unit.
Your antenna, so, your two huge claws.
They're all linked. Yeah. Exactly. My crispy undergirdle, everything. Yeah.
Your enzyme extruding proboscis.
It's all part of the same game. Mm. Both thoraxes, the outer and the inner one, and the slimy tendrils that join, that keep them linked, but give them enough motion for me to be able to...
Round corners very rapidly.
Yeah, precisely. My extruding semi-liquid spine, mm-hmm. which allows me to do that trick at a theatre show where my head can be poking out of one wing and my legs can be poking out of the other, can't they? Which we haven't yet done at the live shows, but only because we haven't had the right kind of medical teams on hand. To put me back together.
Yeah, but that's because previously when you've been on Trodden the Boards and you're one man waiting for Godot, you came onto the stage from both wings at the wrong time simultaneously.
That's right. That's right. And I didn't know who was more embarrassed, me or my lower body. But it was, yeah. It's complex. Anyway, the point being, I was in that position of going like, basically my flavor nodules,
your taste buds,
my taste buds. There you go. For the layman, my taste buds were actually bought into this gazpacho being good, but yeah. Basically,
it's because your isn't this nice gland was going.
That's it. Was like the clappers. Crazy. It was absolutely going like the clappers. And of course, we need that evolutionarily. There's a reason it's there. It's because others wouldn't try new things, would we?
Yeah.
Or be able to enjoy holidays as much. So basically, what happened was, I thought it didn't taste of garlic. I thought it needed more garlic. Mm-hmm. I thought it's a decent gazpacho, but if anything, it needs a bit more garlic. But it turns out the truth was, it was horrifically over garlicky. So my garlic centers had shut down. I was basically like a raving madman on the topic of in relation to garlic. Mm.
But is that because you were dressed as a lobster and you were being basted by French chefs in garlic?
Because if a French chef sees a lobster, especially a large one, he's primed to baste it, isn't he? He'll baste it, and the theory is you baste it long enough to keep it alive, so you can keep it alive for long enough to then boil it, to death in kitchen conditions. Yeah. So I was being kept alive by delicious garlicky butter. And it's a bit like when they transfer someone has to transfer an organ across town in a hurry in a film.
Yeah, constantly based.
Keep basting for the love of God. We've only got 15 minutes to make it to the brasserie. Come on, we can do it. Point being, turns out it was actually massively over garlicky. That's what the two people with me said. This is so garlicky, it's just unbelievable. And then I realized that my body was playing a trick on me. I then everything reversed. All the glands kind of kicked in, and it was just wave upon wave of just insane amounts of garlic. Now what I did was I finished mine out of embarrassment, because I'd backed the restaurant, but they just left theirs. Mm. So ends chapter one.
Please turn the page. Do 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 do.
Choose your own French adventure. Does Henry order more gazpacho?
Turn to page four.
Does he get out a mandolin and woo the restaurateur?
Turn to page nine.
You've been killed by a rival troubadour.
Your restaurant experience ends here. We need to focus here. So,
okay.
Right,
chapter two.
First course disaster. The gazpacho was horrific. It was not only too garlicky; it was very foamy. Just casting your mind back to chapter one again. Mm. It was very foamy. It shouldn't be garlicky foam. It shouldn't be garlicky foam. The other thing
it's
was
like a sewage pipe has been sort of.
Yeah,
the contents have been released into it or something.
That's right. And actually, weirdly, on the topic of last week we were discussing, weren't we, sewage pipe tomatoes. It kind of felt like it. Yes, it was a bit like a sort of sewage pipe tomato experience. Anyway, the other thing that crucially happened is we'd lost confidence in the experience. You know when that happens?
Yeah.
With the restaurant, you lose confidence. Because I think generally confidence will take you through a few mouthfuls of anything almost. If you went to a good enough restaurant with good enough reviews, they could serve you a sort of, like an old Snickers wrapper covered in rancid egg. Do you know what I mean? Almost anything. You'd have a few mouthfuls.
Yeah.
Before, because your trust is with the restaurant. Anyway, the trust had gone. I went up to get my barbecue mains. I was still hoping they could turn it around. Those sausages look nice. What are they? Duck. But unfortunately, the reason he said duck was because there was a flaming crab flying through the air. It hit me full in the face. No. So yeah, it was duck sausages. Which is very. It's sort of like sometimes you're in too deep France. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just felt like. Would you want a duck sausage, Ben?
I'd be interested to try it, but I think it would like it needs to be small, right? I mean, it can't be like a full size sausage,
fat, absolute. That's greasy, that's greasy spoon sized sort of.
No, yeah, day's over if you've got that down your pipes.
But I went for a couple of prawns, so big prawns, classic prawns, so. Sort of movie star looks, but just with the big black dead eyes.
Yep.
Javier
Bardem, basically.
Yeah, they're very Javier Bardem, aren't they? But with loads and loads of sort of cartilaginous antennae protruding straight out of the face. Isn't it?
Javier Bardem.
Pre-makeup Javier Bardem. they lop them off, don't they, with Bardem, but they just grow. Normally by the end of the day, they've grown back. So he has to act fast. That's one of the reasons he's so good, raw. People say. So raw, isn't it? So again, my confidence now was shaking in this place, but I still thought, okay, they've messed up the gazpacho starter. That can happen to anyone. You can't mess up like a barbecue if it's good produce heated over coal by some French people. That should be good.
Mm-hmm. So what have you got? You've got two prawns.
I'd even played myself a little narrative, which is these two guys running the barbecue. They know what they're doing. They look good. Yeah. So I had two large prawns, a sort of beefy stick covered in bits of beef,
Yeah, great.
Beef kebab. Sorry. Yeah.
Horse penis?
Sorry, I should have said obviously all of it served on a flattened horse penis.
Spatchcock.
Because the friend is spatchcock.
Yeah. A schnitzel dong. Yeah.
Schnitzel horse dong. The guy hands me the plate. I thought, I think this looks okay. This could be okay. I think maybe everything's going to be okay here. The guy hands me the plate. I hold on to the plate. Red hot. The plate is red hot. Now, I didn't... I'm so surprised I don't even scream initially. It's, again, my finger sensors, my hand nodules, like, this can't be happening.
This can't be
in a
right.
restaurant, you don't get handed a hot plate.
This must be an error.
This must be some sort of error. It's probably our fault.
Switch it all off and switch it back on again.
Switch it back on again. Send him into a quick coma. Just another of those quick comas. But so he handed me, and I sort of went. I went. There's a few seconds of silence, and then I went like that. It wasn't a scream. It was a constrained scream. I think on some level, I was still hoping this might be an okay experience. And I was always trying to cover their blushes a bit. It's quite, I think, a British thing to do. I was like,
thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. I don't have any fingerprints anymore. That's useful.
No, the only reason I look like I'm in pain is because I'm just wondering if I'm going to regret not trying the duck sausage. So what I did, I went, and there was nothing to put it on, obviously. I was standing next to the bucket, and I said, it's really hot. Yeah. It's quite hot, I think. I mean,
it's just
hot.
The top of your head, that's it.
It's just the top of my head. That had a flaming crab sitting on it, though. But the waiter said, what I thought would happen is, because I think it's one of the standard sort of first rules of restaurant services, first do no harm, isn't it? Like, because restaurant people in waiters and stuff are very, very careful normally about. Don't worry, be careful. It's hot. Yeah.
They invented tables in the first place, right?
That's why they invented tables in the first place, because it's going to burn your thighs. It's going to we're having so much, because of all the burnt thigh injuries. Hmm. But they always point out, don't they? This is a hot one. Be careful. Don't touch the plate and stuff. So I thought this French barbecue man was about to dissolve into, you know, an absolute flood of apologies, and I was expecting tears, an offer of marriage to his daughter, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I thought there could be no end of things coming away. But instead he went, hold it around the other side. So he sort of spun it round for me, hold it around the other side, which was just very, very, very hot.
But it hadn't cooled down on your cold fingers.
But hadn't cooled down on my cold fingers.
There were a second singeing.
Yeah, so I had a second singeing, and I sort of stumbled back to the table to kind of, I suppose, a bit like a World War One soldier that's just sort of run across he just got back into his trench. You know what I mean? I was like, just regroup.
See what's left of you.
See what's left of me. What I can work with. Can I still be useful at this point? I'm not going to live long, but can I be useful? For example, navigator through the dessert course. Anyway, we all had our meat. So basically, the prawns, beautiful on the outside, as they always are. Mm-hmm. Javier Bardem on the outside. Mm-hmm. You crack them open. I mean, barely Simon Russell Beale on the inside. I don't know why I'm slagging him off. He was a great, great actor. But as a prawn.
But you don't want to eat him.
You don't want to eat him. And I also don't think he'd be good as a prawn in the show. I think he's got too much gravitas.
So what was it like inside?
The prawn just hadn't. No, it had no grain. Like, all meat has a grain, has a direction. It was just fully not. It was fully.
It was amorphous.
Amorphous.
Pasty kind of stuff.
Okay. It was squadgy. Yeah. Bit paste, like just no texture. It felt like they might be keeping these prawn carapaces, reusing them, just filling them up with moldy old, slightly off congealed yop. The salad buffet, lifeless.
The kebab?
The kebab, fine.
Mm-hmm. But not worth the trip.
not worth the trip. Oh, and all you had, this salad buffet, which is what you had to have with it, everything was a bit grey, so the carrots were grey. The potato salad was grey. Everything was grey and dark and lifeless. And I think what happened was we realised that basically it wasn't a good restaurant. Like, at all. So basically it was around this point that we realised what was going on here.
Hmm.
Now, my initial thought was, French barbecue, basically French, you know, it's a slight British myth that French can't do bad food. They can't. You put your head in a French bin and you will come out with a Michelin star. Do you know my experience? Yeah. That's the kind of attitude slightly, which is a bit over the top. I think that's what I'd gone into it with. But it then turned out, we then realised during the barbecue course, we chatted to the restaurateur. It was a British couple.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, no. So a British couple, or a British woman anyway. We didn't meet her husband. I assume they're British. I think she was definitely British. It was their little thing. So then we realised, A, it was British, but B, it was just people having a sort of retirement plan dream of setting up a place in France. And we also then realised they're not restaurateurs. They're not qualified. This is what happens. If me or you try to put on a restaurant, do you know what I mean?
Oh, no.
Yeah. They're sort of retired civil servants from
essentially
Basildon or whatever.
Yeah.
They're a bit out of cash now. And they can't, they have trouble drawing their pension. So, we should do a restaurant. I don't know how, I'll just do a barbecue then.
Yeah. Or they had a dream, I imagine, that would be sort of idyllic sort of experience.
Mm.
Serving absolute tripe to people. The dessert then was a chocolate brownie. Again, you think, what would you cook if we had to put on a restaurant? Do you mean it's the kind of thing that anyone, like, it's kind of stuff which anyone's 9-year-old niece could make.
Mm.
A chocolate brownie, isn't it? It's like one of those things that, and a barbecue. So, like, if you can't cook, you can sort of do a barbecue.
Yeah. Do you want a brownie or would you like a yogurt?
Yeah.
We've got some yogurts.
Yeah. It was that sort of experience. But and also, when you think about it, gazpacho is if you've got some tomato soup but you don't feel confident heating it up.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was tomato soup. They just fucked up to the degree that it was gazpacho.
Really bad. We're going to have to call this gazpacho. Anyway.
And where's the bloody garlic gone?
Anyway, so the pudding was a brownie, again, 9-year-old knee stuff. It came out, it sort of looked like a brownie. You put your spoon into it.
Mm.
It completely fell apart into small, wet, shiny sort of shards. Into like 50 of them. You know, like that kind of wet clumps of...
Yeah.
So you put your spoon in. It's something you just don't experience in it.
Like when jaws explode, that kind of thing.
It was really, really similar.
Yeah.
It was. We all thought, hang on a minute. Are we watching a 3D immersive Jaws experience? Oh, no. It's just a really weird brownie. But yeah, so be warned. But, you know, sometimes these things happen, don't they, on holiday? You have a bad experience. So I'd just like to offer a brief coda to that... that story about the French restaurant, because I think it's almost asked, it's left, there's more questions than answers, aren't there? You know, it's really stirred things up a lot. So a brief preface, so the coda has a very incredibly brief preface. So first of all, I'd say this coda is dedicated to...
Oh, but you're going to do the acknowledgements first.
We'll do the acknowledgements first, get them out of the way. So the first thing is, I just remembered one other detail, which was the gazpacho was horrendously garlicky, right? So I went to the salad buffet area where the bread was to get some respite from the garlickiness. I sliced myself some bread, took a pat of butter. They had pats of butter arranged on small plates. Nothing suspicious here.
I mean, that should have been your first clue.
Should that have been my clue, that pats of butter on small plates?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Pats, it's quite British, isn't it? The pat of butter.
Is it quite British? So what is a pat of butter?
Is it the smallest unit of butter?
It's a small circular sort of puck.
Or rectangular, yeah, just for one slice.
Maybe that should be.
I think of that being as a very British thing, like I usually served in a bit of foil somewhere.
Yeah, it was like that.
Or am I wrong? Am I quite wrong?
You might be right. Because it was, as it turned out, British run this place. Anyway, I took the pat of butter, I took the little bit of bread back to my little table. I thought, some respite from the garlic. I spread the pat of butter on the little bit of bread. I put the little bread with the little pat of butter in my little mouth. And it was garlic butter. They'd garliced the butter. There was no respite. You know that moment when the Titanic's going down and you realise that you're trying to float off in a violin case?
Yeah.
And it's like...
And there's a man playing a clove of garlic on the deck bravely to calm everyone down.
Going down like a great chef should with his ship and with his garlic crusher. So that was a bad moment. But the other thing, just so the coda is... The story is, as we were leaving the restaurant, the couple who ran it were having some sort of argument. Mm-hmm. And we realized that, I think they were realizing this whole thing was falling apart. They'd injured one of the guests.
Yeah.
Everywhere you turned.
Were they aware of that?
I don't know if, I think maybe that maybe.
Or was it very obvious from the way you were handling the steering wheel of your car as you drove away?
I was
driving with your forehead.
Forehead to the center of the wheel and spin. You can do it. that they were having an argument and something sort of they've fallen out a bit. There was tension. I think they'd realized you can't just move to France and set up a restaurant and have it work if your only idea is garlic. If that's the only I thought you have around food, is garlic.
Around French food. I mean, it's almost offensive, isn't it?
Exactly. It was almost like a sort of, yeah. It's almost like it was
But of all the nations on earth, to try and be a restaurateur.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly. Asking for trouble, isn't it?
Exactly. But as we left, right, they had this argument, and as we left, we all looked to our left, we saw the woman... Who's very much the sort of the front-facing person of the establishment. Mm-hmm. So the woman in this couple, she was sitting by herself in a corner, eating a plate of grey sludge. It was such a, and she was just this really grim.
Her dream, her retirement dream.
Her retirement dream was her angrily shoveling grey sludge into her face.
She doesn't want the duck sausage. She'll stick with the gruel. Thank you.
She'll stick with the gruel. Thanks. So basically, the warning. I think the moral of the story, the warning of the story is, if you're a couple that think you can just move to the Dordogne and set up a restaurant, and that it's going to be straightforward.
Yeah, don't follow your dreams.
Don't
follow your dreams, people.
Stay in Derby.
What I Did on My Holidays by Henry Packer.